Ready, down, put, 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 put.
All Packers, all the time.
But I had somebody retweet it to me and say, wild throw, question mark? I mean, no. Like, good throw, but also I would say, like, if Aaron Rodgers made that throw, we wouldn't even be talking about it. We'd be like, oh.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts were.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from. Boucher Automotive. We are driven by you. And by the Bridgewater Modern Grill. Nestled in the heart of Milwaukee's emerging Harbor District. Enjoy a specialty crafted menu centered around a custom oak-fed grill.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is the goat of helicopter parents. He is Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason.
Well, don't get me started on the term goats.
I heard you got yelled at.
I mean, maybe a little.
You were pretty. In fairness, Jason, I mean, we were just talking about how Chewy has given Ashton confidence. I don't know, not that you've always lacked confidence, but the fact that you kept going back, for those who missed it, you can download it, Wisconsin On Demand, yesterday's Homer appearance on Wilde and Tausch, where Jason called Homer the goat of Milwaukee sports talk radio, and Homer was very uncomfortable with it. And then Jason proceeded to call, I don't know, just about everything you could think of, the goat of whatever category they were, to continue to make Homer uncomfortable. And Tausch said he was the proudest he's ever been of you ever. Like, I don't know if Tausch is giving you some confidence in that area, but man, you were feeling it yesterday, man.
I don't need Tausch to give me confidence. I really believe that. I know I'm not the only one on this panel who believes that. I believe that is true. It was my way of supporting him, since I probably, it would appear, correctly presumed that maybe he wasn't overly thrilled with his current lot in life, and so I wanted to make clear just how highly I regard him. And it, some might say it backfired. I would certainly say it backfired. But I stand by what I believe about Steve the Homer Truth. So that's all.
All right, Jason, let's untangle this Taylor situation.
Yeah, let's definitely.
I thought Chewy was going to start someplace else, but we'll get to that.
No,
at the
so
end.
we were talking in our little production meeting on how Miami was going to offer, or they were offering Waddle. And
the Colts wanted Waddle in return.
Okay, but we look at Waddle as first round compensation. Would you agree with that, Jason? If someone was to train,
he's a really good player. Yeah.
Really good player. So that means the Packers, here's my problem. If you're buying a $600,000 house, right, Jason, and you offer $200,000, that is extremely insulting. So if Goody is offering a fourth-round pick for Jonathan Taylor, that's not offering or trying to get Jonathan Taylor. I think it's just absolute garbage. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, sure. I would agree with that. You know, at the same time, for instance, I believe Pat McAfee went on his program and suggested, didn't report, but I don't know if he was giving his opinion on what the offer should have been, or I'm not sure what it was, because I did not catch his actual appearance, but I had a few people sending me snippets of it, and he was apparently the one who suggested giving up A.J. Dillon and a draft pick, which, great. I'll be honest. I think, depending upon what the draft pick is, I think that actually would have made a lot of sense, right? Because if you think about it, they still need a running back. They just signed, like, two guys to their practice squad because they still don't know what's going on with Taylor. And you also get draft pick compensation. Now, what that draft pick is would obviously dictate whether or not it was a realistic offer or not. Goody flat out said, and, you know, I tried to be very sneaky about trying to get an answer. You know, I brought back a 1998 transaction in which the Packers traded Mike Flanagan to Carolina, and then he flunked his physical and he came back and he wound up making the Pro Bowl twice with the Packers and turned out to be a really good player after that horrific leg injury that he had in that preseason game, maybe against Pittsburgh at Lambeau Field. You would have been playing in that game.
Yeah,
I don't. Right.
Yeah.
So my point, what I was trying to get at, and I tried to ask you generally, because I don't know if they offered A.J. Dillon or not. What I was trying to get at with my question was, if they did and the Colts didn't want that deal, then how do you think A.J. Dillon feels about how the team feels about him, right? But I didn't have enough facts to know for certain. This is kind of the nuance that people that just watch the press conferences maybe don't understand when my questions are long. But Goody then later said that A.J. Dillon was never not going to be on this team. So unless he was lying, which I don't think he was, because I think he knows, having lied to me before, that's we're not supposed to do that. If you don't want to answer something, don't answer it, but certainly don't lie. But if that's the truth, then A.J. Dillon was never part of an offer that the Packers made for Jonathan Taylor. The important thing here, though, in my opinion, is that he never denied that they pursued Jonathan Taylor. He made a joke about, oh, let's get the checklist out, right, in his response to Domofsky. It was funny. I don't comment on players on other teams. We're going to do everything we can to make the Packers better, blah, 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 blah. That is an admission that they pursued Jonathan Taylor. Because otherwise you say, hey, we didn't call. We checked in to see what their asking price was. Once we knew what it was too rich for our blood. We did not pursue it further, or something like that. He did make a comment that he thought that they were used as leverage a lot. If you think back, and this leads into the other discussion, which I was kind of trying to have with Homer, the GOAT of Wisconsin sports radio, they always like to be in on things, right? I mean, that was one of the things on Goody's checklist in his answer to Domofsky, that, well, we want to pursue every avenue or whatever. So, you know, whether it was not getting Chase Claypool because the Steelers thought the second-round pick from the Bears would be higher than the second-round pick from the Packers, which was correct, but the Packers should be thankful that they didn't get Chase Claypool, or not getting Darren Waller from Las Vegas, which they had a trade in place, and then the Raiders changed their mind. Those are different than just your example of calling and offering $7,000 for a Lamborghini that somebody has for sale on cars.com. Right. So I think that he admitted that they pursued Jonathan Taylor. And at this point, because remember, it's not like this is over. That deadline that the Colts created was a completely artificial deadline. Like, the trade deadline is October 31st. Like, that trade deadline hits as the girls are about to go out for trick or treating. And so this could still happen, whether it's him getting traded to the Packers or someone else. So this story, I don't think you can say, is completely over.
Do you think they're going to continue to pursue?
I think the next step, based on what Chris Ballard said, is that the Colts are going to try, probably without Jim Irsay involved, which seems to be a really smart idea, to try and repair their relationship with their star player. And that's what Chris Ballard's intention is. Whether or not that works, I'm not sure. I mean, again, Jonathan Taylor was a second-round pick. He is in the final year of his deal. He's in the same situation as A.J. Dillon is, except he's a lot better, or at least has been better to this point. So he is trying to get the long-term, you know, big signing bonus security now, because you go out there in this contract, here's the same with A.J. Dillon, you go out there and you tear your ACL, you are going to be a lot poorer than you would have been had you gotten an extension to protect you. The Davante Adamses of the world, who are first-team all-pro players, which is what Jonathan Taylor was in 21, those guys who go out there at enormous risk without the and it would have been a third contract for Davante, but those guys that do that, they are rare at this point. These guys all want protection, and they do not want to take on that level of risk. Davante delivered on it which is one of the reasons why I still can't believe the Packers didn't figure out a way to keep a guy that the general manager called a future Hall of Famer, but that's an argument for another day.
Jason, what's the starting offensive line going to be against the Bears?
Left to right, David Bakhtiari, Elton Jenkins, Josh Myers, John Runyon Jr., and Zach Tom.
Is that...
How do you feel about that group?
You tell me.
How should Chewy feel about that group?
I mean, the weak link is...
Just tell me what movie you want to see.
The weak link, Myers and Runyon?
Yeah, I would agree. But, you know, I don't think they're weak links to the level of, like, I don't know. I'm trying to think back to your era. I mean, you guys had some really, really good offensive linemen, too. I don't know. There's nobody like John Michaels.
Okay.
Right? I mean, there's nobody that you're like, oh, my God.
I mean, is Myers a concern, though?
They challenged him. I thought he, to some degree, answered the bell. I thought he was really honest about some of the challenges that come with, for him, changing quarterbacks. Like, look, Aaron Rodgers, you can think he's a jerk. You can think he yells at guys too much, whatever you want. I thought it was nice to see him actually being pissed off on Hard Knocks to remind everyone that he's not always puppy dogs and rainbows even out there. But, you know, as Josh Myers pointed out, there were a lot of times when he would not see a line call that he needed to adjust, and Rodgers was there to do it for him. And Jordan Love's not going to be able to do that. At this point in his career, Jordan Love is not going to be capable of doing that as often as Aaron Rodgers was capable of doing that for Josh Myers. So there are going to be more challenges. He was not highly graded by Pro Football Focus last year. He does need to be better, but I don't think, you know, should they have drafted Creed Humphrey instead, who went the very next pick? Yes, they should have. He's better. But I don't think that Josh Myers is, you know, some terrible center that they can't win with. My thing is, and I brought this up to Tausch, in 2014, when they should have played in the Super Bowl, the Green Bay Packers had one offensive lineman miss one game. That was Brian Bulaga in week 2 against the Jets. And he was coming off an ACL. So to have your starting five play 15 of the 16 games together and have only one guy miss one game, that is the anomaly in the NFL. Like, what did they have, Gabe, last year? They had like 8 different starting lineups in the first 9 games. And that was like the 3rd year in a row they'd had that.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is do you really want to trot Royce Newman out there? Mm. And do you really truly believe in Rashid Walker, who played 4 special team snaps a year ago, and now you've decided is far better than Yash Nyman? Or would you rather have a guy who's played in 50 games in the NFL and started 23 games like Yash did if somebody gets hurt? I'm really curious to see what they do on that offensive line, because those 5 are not going to start all 17 games together unless they have the shiniest lucky penny in their pockets. That just is not going to happen.
Jason, if someone from your childhood were to come to your house with their kid and you provided them with Packers tickets and Brewers tickets and meals for 3 nights and a place to stay for 3 nights, would you expect something more from this person other than a thank you as they walked out the door?
Well, I guess it depends on who the person is. Like someone from my childhood, like Robin Yount is showing up at my door, or just a friend of mine?
Friend of yours.
A neighbor growing up.
What if he was neighbors with Robin Yount?
That would have been awesome. Yeah. I would have been playing.
He better get a car.
I don't want to put this person on blast the way it would appear that maybe is being done to him on today's program. I personally would want to do something to very vehemently express my gratitude and thanks for that person doing that. So I would, whether everybody says my love language is gifts, I think one of my strengths as a human is the thoughtful gift that is really well connected to who the person is. So I would want to, at the very minimum, give Chewy a gift that would show thoughtfulness and extreme appreciation for everything he had done.
Jason, you're invited over any time, buddy.
Now, the problem is you're not going to be able to get the address.
What tickets am I getting?
Yeah, you're not going to be able to get the address out of him. But, you know, if you can find the house, Jason, what? You'll be able
to... UWGB basketball, Jason.
I will text you later to that wrong number that I always text.